This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Monday was a wild day of trading based upon stock markets in Japan falling to their lowest levels since 1987, India with problems, and it moved all the way to the U.S. So we'll talk with Bob Maurer in just a moment about markets and commodity markets. First off, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on discrimination financial assistance.
Through the discrimination financial assistance program, 43,244 applicants will be receiving resources. These are individuals in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and American Samoa. Receiving direct financial assistance in response to discrimination they reported to have experienced in USDA's farm lending programs prior to 2021.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Okay, Bob, it's been a wild ride on Monday. How about a 30,000-foot view of equities? What happened today, and does it affect commodities?
Well, the capital markets certainly are being challenged at the moment. The markets had a really good slide, as I'm sure anybody knows who's been paying any attention to either the financial news or otherwise, that started on primarily Friday. Although I would say and argue that the market had been soft for the last couple weeks. And then along comes the data on early Thursday and Friday to help accelerate this thing lower, and it has responded accordingly. So the market back in mid-July or so topped off, right? I mean, we made new swing highs, new contract highs in the September S&P futures on July 16th, so right about the mid-month mark, got it to about 57.20-ish or so and started to fall back. And then we had some consolidation last week, at least the first half of last week. And then Thursday we got some data that came out that wasn't necessarily kind to the market, that being some weaker numbers from the ISM manufacturing and also the jobless claims numbers. But then I guess the big one that really missed the mark was the employment situation number that came out on Friday, missing the mark by quite a bit. So net-net, markets are taking all that information and reacting accordingly. We're also getting some help to the bearish side with some of the other countries out there, such as Japan, who are making moves and seeing their markets kind of get hit too. So it's kind of just worked its way bit by bit across the globe, and we saw some follow through today. Bigger picture, how would that affect our commodity markets that we talk about? And if you just kind of do a scan and think of the narrative of what's happening in some of the sectors, I would say it's unsurprising that you would see the energies lower, although crude, as we speak, is only down about 15 cents a barrel, heating oil down about 100 points, RBOB actually up 2.5. So that's 250 points, that is. So you would think that you would see some kind of move to the downside in energies, being that if the thought process is that the market, the stock markets, are sending you a signal, okay, if you were a believer of this at this point, that recession down the road is a possibility, a greater possibility than it was, say, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, then you would think that that would be having some kind of negative impact in the energy markets, being that if it just comes down to how you want to spend your money family by family across the United States of America, might you pull back a little bit on some travel, right? So that would reduce the demand for unleaded gas and reduce the demand for crude oil. So things like that. So that's just a narrative that could work into that marketplace. When you think about some of the agricultural futures that we chat about week in and week out, I don't necessarily think that there's going to be a longer-term impact in corn, wheat, and soybeans to an extent, at least not as much of an impact in some of the higher protein categories of meat that might get pulled back on. For example, cattle. Cattle's been on a good run to the upside. Cattle's not cheap. You go to the grocery store, and it's pretty expensive to buy a nice cut of beef these days. And if that recessionary thought caused by these macro markets kind of works its way into the day-to-day consumer out there having to go to the grocery store, then you would think that there would be some kind of push to the downside in live cattle futures. And we did see that today. The cattle market in October is down about 300 points. Feeder cattle are down anywhere from 4 to about 650 points. So maybe that's more of an impact, or that's being more impacted, shall we say, by some of the macro events in the capital markets. Speaking as a true potential complete novice economist, the other part of the macro markets or the capital markets falling like they have is perhaps there's a, if it sticks, right? It's just one or two data points that happened last week, all right? If this sticks though, and this becomes worse, perhaps the market is going to start to discount some probability of the Fed moving sooner than later. So the Fed doesn't have to stick with its calendar to make moves when it feels like it needs to make moves. So the next Fed meeting, I believe, is in September. You know, they could really at any time, if things really start to accelerate to the downside and want to appease the markets, they can come in lowering rates. All right. So they could do that. And if that does, if that idea starts to really stick in the marketplace, then perhaps the big push to the downside that we've seen in the equity markets over the last couple few weeks, and particularly over the last couple few days, might start to abate, and we'll see how that plays out. So in terms of that and how it's also could impact the dollar index, which is definitely impactful in terms of world trade, the value of the U.S. dollar versus other currencies. With that same logic, if they start to reduce interest rates, then you start to reduce the willingness to want to be long USD, because in my textbook knowledge of currency flows, you know, typically currency flows are determined by interest rates. So the higher the interest rates, the higher the return, the more apt that you want to get involved with that particular currency, whereas the lower interest rates, the lower the return on a relative basis, especially with other countries who might be raising rates, then you start to see some kind of reduction in the value of the USD. And if you see a reduction in the value of the USD, that should be helpful for our commodity markets. So you get the immediate reaction, and I guess there's no easy way to answer the big question, but you get an immediate reaction of, oh, heck, you know, the world is, you know, the sky is falling, right? So we need to just contract and go risk off, and we don't want to get involved with anything. To a point where maybe some of the ramifications of the sky falling is going to be the Fed makes some moves to kind of, that kind of trickles its way into the value of the USD. And if the value of the USD starts to fall, then that should be supportive for US commodities. And, you know, to that point, the soybeans, the wheat, and the corn today were up, shrugging off earlier losses. So the risk off mentality maybe have been trumped by kind of taking a look, step back and saying, oh, hey, you know, maybe this won't be so bad for demand. And people still got to eat. Livestock still has to eat. So, you know, when it comes down to the demand base as it is, even though we're sitting in a pretty heavy surplus in many of the commodities worldwide this year, being things the way they are, perhaps that, you know, the markets will find some kind of stability in here, even if the markets, the capital markets start to push lower, right? So we'll see how it plays out, right? It's a bigger picture, but yes, I mean, I guess that was a long answer to your short question, but generally speaking, when you see big macro moves like that in the capital markets, it can definitely have a immediate, somewhat bearish element in certain commodities and bullish element catalyst. It could be a bullish catalyst for some of the other commodities. So we'll just see how it plays out. And again, we're only 48 hours removed, 72 hours removed of trading time. So we'll see how it plays out through this week and take it from there.
All right, cattle markets have seen good returns over the first 7 months of the year. What's ahead for the remainder of this season?
Well, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen for the remainder of the season. These markets, as you can see, just based on what's happened over the last 48 or 72 hours of trading time, have certain times when big catalysts come along and really spook the markets. And it could be a bullish spook, it could be a bearish spook, but nonetheless the markets move quite substantially. So then, you know, when and if that happens, it's really hard to say, oh, this is, you know, this is the way things are going to go going forward. But nonetheless, generally speaking, it has been a good 7 months for live cattle. If you look at the October live cattle futures contract, it's kind of interesting because most of the year we've spent higher than where it started. The contract started in terms of price. Okay, back in January of this year, the October live cattle futures were about 177.5. There was about a 3 week window in April where the market traded below that, but for the most part, the market has been trading higher than that, so climbing, right? And interestingly, today we broke through that to the downside. We'll see if it holds, right? But that break that we've seen, over the last 4, 5, 6 trading days in the October live cattle futures has done some damage and pretty much put us back in a reset in terms of price. Feeder cattle, not too dissimilar, although it hadn't really enjoyed the majority of the year, this year so far, the calendar year 2024. If you look at the most actively traded, the most actively traded contract, which is the October feeder cattle futures, it had a 3 or 4 month window in the spring where it traded higher than where it started in early part of January, and then pretty much up and down along where it traded or where it started the year in January, meaning around 257.5 is where it was on Jan 2, and we traded plus or minus of that. But really over the last few days, kind of similar to the cattle market, we've really broken underneath it. So live cattle futures are revisiting where it started the year. Feeder cattle are doing some damage compared to where it started for the year. So if this time the type of mentality comes into the marketplace in terms of all the things that are being discounted in the price, then it could be challenging. And let's not forget that the month of August is typically a bearish month. Now, anything can happen year to year, but nonetheless, looking back in history, August tends to be a challenging month in terms of price. So that might also be something that's involved with the pressure that we've seen lately. So we'll see how it plays out. My guess is we're probably going to see some kind of bounce, and then we'll see what the trend is after that.
All right, let's get contact information. We can go toe-to-toe or at least one-on-one with you. How do we do that?
Sure. Contact information, you can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or shoot me an email at bmaurer@manducatrading.com. That's B-M-A-U-R-E-R @manducatrading.com, or come visit the website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 ply lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Online, myfuturesadvisor.com.
Truck owners, want to turn your truck into the ultimate workhorse or off-road beast? The possibilities are endless in making your truck more versatile, more fun, and higher performing. When it comes to equipping your truck, there's only one name you need to know. Rascal Supply. North Highway 87 between 98th and 114th Streets in Lubbock, or call 806-300-8007. For all your truck accessories, Rascal takes your truck to the next level.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A rural electric cooperative improving energy efficiencies within its own facilities? That is exactly the case for Wisconsin-based Dunn Electric, as they plan to use recently awarded USDA Rural Energy for America program REAP funding to
upgrade our lighting to LEDs inside our shop. We've done projects like that before at our building to increase energy efficiency, and I know some dairy farmers use that REAP program and other rural businesses can as well.
Jesse Singerhouse of Dunn Electric also told WRDN Radio in Durand, Wisconsin, that another rural development program provided an $18 million loan to the cooperative. The rural utility service loan, coupled with co-op capital, will invest in power line upgrades and, in turn, upgraded services for customers.
Our distribution lines is where we want to upgrade because that's the backbone that serves our community.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.